13 to my painting instructor, who taught me to paint with a house brush, the 4-inch house brush, big Bob Ross with a giant afro, and I learned how to pop in happy little trees and all those wonderful things that, if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And one of the things that struck me as I was learning to paint, and I don't paint anymore, but I'm hoping the easel gets put to good use in the future, was that if you're going to show light, you have to paint the dark first. He said it won't work until you put down the dark for the light to show up. Well, that's kind of what we're going to be doing tonight as we continue our study through the armor of God. We're going to be looking at the shield of faith. And hopefully we're going to be on the real light side of it, you know, the bright side of it, where we're going to be learning what it is to use the shield of faith and how to make that whole thing be positive in our life and to help us to have functional lives that are safe. But we're going to start by painting the dark, because that's going to show us why we need it. And I think you'll find that sometimes this isn't too far from home in the worlds we live in. Liana, will you come down, help me? Without the shield of faith, we're left fully exposed to not trust. Without the shield of faith, and with no confidence in anything else, you're going to suffer a wound from a fiery dart that will make you feel like you've been to a funeral and you don't know what died, but you know something died. We've painted the dark, and now God says, let me give you the hope. Let me paint the light for you. Aaron, would you get the screen for me? Thank you. If you are joining us tonight, we have been on a study where we are studying a letter that was written to a church much like Westbridge, a church that met in a town called Ephesus. The letter has since been come to be known as the Book of Ephesians. And as we have studied this book, we have learned so much about God. Now we have gotten to the end of the book, and God has been speaking through the Apostle Paul, and Paul is writing all this down. And Paul now tells us that you need to be aware that your life is not just what you see around you. Your life is instead a spiritual battlefield. There are fights going on between powers of light and powers of darkness to try to ruin you, to try to keep you from God, to try to bring your life down, to try to bring your life into dysfunction, try to rob happiness and inject depression. And Paul lets us know that. And God, guiding Paul's hand to write these things, tells us, but God has given us armor for these battles. And we've been studying these pieces of armor. We looked at the belt of truth, the first thing we put on. He's comparing it all to what a Roman soldier would wear. And the belt of truth talks about who we are, who we really are, and seeing ourselves for who we really are and what we really do, getting an honest assessment of who you are. Don't fool yourself. The belt of truth helps us cinch that on and say, you know what, let me be honest about where I'm at and where I need to go. Then we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, where we see that only Jesus Christ's perfection is something that will be accepted by God. It's called righteousness, living rightly. And we wear it like a piece of body armor. And God uses it to protect our hearts. And then we are to learn to live that righteous life that Jesus Christ lived and live rightly so that we can live a life of function, not a life of dysfunction. Last week we looked at the shoes of peace. And the shoes of peace we found out were really more like 3-inch cleats that were on the bottom of metal shoes that the Roman soldier wore. And these helped him to sink in and keep a steady stance so when the onslaught came from the enemy, he was grounded and immovable. And now we move on to verse 16 of chapter 6 in Ephesians. Here we go. Now Paul adds, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. All right, gang, we need to get a good look at this item of armor. You see, in the Roman soldier's possession, there were two shields. Each Roman soldier had two shields. Now, the first shield was a smaller round shield, and it was a decorative shield. It was used for show, and it was called the aspis. We have a picture of one. This shield, it could be a combination of metal and leather with mostly a metal overlay. And it was often decorated and kind of carved into the metal. It was used as like a display piece. And what they would often put on there was the last great conquest that the soldier had been a participant in. It looked impressive. It was quite flashy. This shield was their parade shield, their show shield. But then there was a second shield that every Roman soldier had. It was the thurios. And it is a very large rectangular shield that resembled a door. It was made of dense, thick layers of leather, and it was tough. This shield was function over form. It didn't matter that it was more plain looking than the aspis. The thurios, its purpose was battle protection. And it was large enough to protect a soldier's entire body when he got behind it. In Ephesians 6:16, Paul says that as soldiers fighting spiritual battles in and around our lives, we must too use a thurios, the big door of a shield. But we will not use one made of layers of tough leather. Our shield, our thurios that he's talking about, must be formed out of tough layers of faith. So if we are really going to own this item, and if we are truly going to grasp what God's offering us, we have to understand what faith is. Are you with me so far? You got what we're going with here? Here's what faith is. I like this definition. It makes the most sense to me. Faith is a trust and confidence in another to do what you cannot do yourself. I'm going to give you a couple examples of what faith looks like, all right? Here's one from the Bible. The Bible tells us in Acts 3:23 that we cannot get into heaven on our own merits. We can't get into heaven on our good deeds. We cannot do it. There is the can't do it yourself part, okay? It can't be done. The only way we can get to heaven is to have faith in Jesus getting us in because of his sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Remember our definition. Faith is a trust and a confidence in another to do what we cannot do ourselves. So when we trust and put our confidence in Jesus paying our way into heaven, that is us having faith. I mean, another example. Maybe this is a little different. I've mentioned before that I have a very, very large tree that I need to remove at the bottom of my driveway. We park cars down there. We've already had limbs fall and break the back of one of our cars. So many acorns have fallen on the Maxima that it looked like it had been in a hailstorm. This tree had to go. But this is a giant tree, and it's hanging over the house and over the driveway. Well, as of today, it's still there. And why is it still there? Well, it all comes down to really faith, or maybe a lack of faith, I should say. You see, I had all the climbing equipment. I had the spikes. I had the big climbing belt. I had everything I needed to go up into this tree, but I didn't, when I tried, I actually did try. Cody was there to watch, and I got up a little bit, and I had no trust. No trust at all in my safety equipment, which I had bought on eBay and was pretty well rotted. I had no trust in my climbing ability and no trust in my equipment. I then also had no confidence at all that I could climb up this tree, that I could wield my chainsaw with one arm, hanging onto the tree with the other, all right? I didn't have a lot of confidence in that. I'm being honest. And I have absolutely no assurance that even if I did get that far and started bringing these giant limbs down, I had no assurance at all that they would not fall on my garage, puncture my roof, and cause me more trouble than it was worth. I had no faith in that system, so I put my faith in A1 Tree Service. And I'm waiting for them to show up, because I'm putting my faith in A1 Tree Service to do what I cannot do. Does that make sense? You get what faith is all about here? Paul is saying that when we have faith in God's love, Paul is saying that is faith. Paul is saying trusting in God's promises, that is faith. Confidence in God's providence, confidence in God's provision for us, that faith, that confidence, that trust in Him to do what we cannot do is what the shield is all about when it comes to the enemy's onslaught on us. You see, God asks us to trust in Him in faith, to put the shield of faith up and trust in Him when He says, lose your life. And when you lose your life, you'll find life. God asks us to trust Him, to stay behind a shield of faith when God says, I will bring the right person to you, and I will bring the right person at the right time. Do not be unequally yoked. Hide behind the shield of faith. God asks us to trust in Him and have faith in Him and get behind the shield of faith when He says, don't worry about your needs. I know your needs, He says, and I will provide them. We need to stand behind our battle shield, our thurios, of faith and weather the storm. Okay, I think we understand the battle shield that Paul is talking about. I think we got our hands around that. We now know that Paul is saying that faith in God doing what we can't do is actually the material that the shield is made of. And we will talk more about strengthening our faith in a moment. But now I want to bring something to your attention that Paul offers us that's very interesting, an incredible piece of information in this one sentence. And it's in here. In addition to all of these, remember we read that? Hold up the shield of faith, here it is, to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, gang, this is important, what Paul decided to use here, what God guided Paul to put in here. This is a very deliberate usage of this term here, the fiery arrows. You see, there were basically three types of arrows in use at that time. In Roman times. The three arrows were, the first arrow was basically your wooden hunting arrow. And you could use it in battle. It was your basic arrow, not a whole lot different than we see today, just your normal arrow. That was number one. Number two arrow was the kind of arrow that could be lit up. They would put a small swab of some sort on there and soak that in something that was flammable. And it had to be pretty light because it had to travel. But this particular arrow was one you would light on fire and send into the sky towards your enemy. And it was pretty exciting to watch that thing fly through the sky. And it was designed so that it would scare. And also in hopes that it would maybe hit a combustible roof and cause some kind of a fire. You know, it could do that if it got lucky enough to hit something that far away. And that was the second type of arrow. But then there was a third type of arrow that the Romans had. These arrows were known as fiery darts. These were hollow shaft arrows. And these arrows were filled with a flammable or explosive liquid. These arrows were basically lit by a small fuse, and they served as a type of explosive. When these arrows hit, they would explode in a fireball that spread out. And what made these arrows so incredibly menacing is that they looked inconsequential. They looked easy to fend off. They didn't have fire showing on them as they came at you. You would sit back, rest a little bit easier knowing these things were coming at you, because they figured they were number one arrows until one hit you. Paul says Those are the kind of arrows that are getting shot at you and me by the dark spirits and those that follow Lucifer. Those are the kind of arrows that get shot at you and me in the spiritual battle that is being fought in and around your life and in and around my life. Harmless looking arrows that are packed with a volatile, surprisingly dangerous and harmful substance. I was made very aware of these type of arrows by author John Eldridge. I went to his conference, learned even more. You know, John talks about these type of arrows, and he called to notice how each and every one of us have been hit by one of these arrows in our lives, usually more than one. Especially being hit in our formative years. Arrows that don't seem terribly damaging, but in actuality, they hit us and they explode inside of our hearts and inside of our minds, causing us to sustain lifelong wounds. Those of us who never seem to be able to read very quickly. Are you in my group? I don't read very quickly at all. Well, arrows get shot at people like me who don't read very quickly. Arrows get shot, go in, explode, and say into my heart and mind, "You're stupid." And they linger. And the fire spreads. Maybe there's those of us who get picked last for teams. Just didn't seem to have the bravado. The arrow goes in. The arrow explodes and it says, "You don't have what it takes. The others do, but not you." Exploding arrows that tell us, "You'll never find love." Exploding arrows that go into us, explode, spread into our hearts and minds that say, "You're never going to amount to much of anything." Or, "You know, you're the problem in your parents' relationship." Arrows that go in and say, "There's no hope for you. You are destined to fail." These lies, gang, these lies go into us, explode into our hearts and minds. And the spiritual enemies that send them at us that Paul is talking about, those spiritual enemies just laugh when we allow them to go right into us because we never picked up a shield of faith. Gang, I don't know what you have heard. And I don't know what fiery dart has been sent into you and exploded into your heart and mind. But know this, you and I have been hit, each and every one of us. And now, Paul says, you need to know there is a shield of faith that you can use that will fend off the enemy's fiery darts from this day forward and even help heal the old ones. He says, let the shield of faith say, "I'm trusting and have put my confidence in Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I'm taking faith on that." And you know what? That shield of faith tells me I have what it takes because I have Him. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let the shield of faith say, "I'm not worthless." Because the Word of God tells me that I have a spiritual gift. Every single believer in Jesus Christ has been given a spiritual gift. And that gift has been placed inside of you by God Himself. And the shield of faith can say, "I'm valuable to the kingdom of God. I'm useful. I'm a necessary part of God's army." Once again, the fiery dart vanquished. Because it has hit the shield of faith. Gang, God makes it abundantly clear that we need the shield of faith because we will be shot at regularly. So our last point, the last point we'll look at tonight is, how do we make our shields strong? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us this. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Gang, when we talk about the Bible, we are not talking about a lifeless, ordinary stack of printed paper. The Bible is instead supernaturally charged with power. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God," that's the Bible, "for the word of God is living and is active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow." The word of God, the Bible, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Gang, the number one way that God will speak to us, the number one way to hear God is through the Bible. The number one way that God will express his promises to you is through his word. The number one way that God will increase our faith and build our confidence in him and grow our trust in him is through regularly reading and studying the book that he designed for us, the Owner's Manual for Life. Now, what's interesting about the time God chose for Jesus to come, we know an awful lot about the Roman soldier. We know an awful lot about that time. And one of the interesting things about the Roman soldier, especially about his shield, is that one of the soldier's daily routine habits, one of their daily routine habits of the Roman soldier, upon waking up in the morning, they were to grab a vial of oil, and daily they had to treat their thurios. They had to treat that leather shield and keep it oiled, because cracked leather was bad. That's not good protection. Hard leather would be more brittle. The soldier had to work every day and keep his shield up. And gang, when it comes to our shield of faith, we are no different. We are to spend time each day oiling our faith. We come to church like this on Saturday nights. We come here to dive into God's word. Ephesians 6:16 tonight. We go to small groups at the upper room. Why? To study God's word. The shield of faith must be maintained every single day. And as we do, gang, and as we trust God, we will add layers to our shield of faith. When you see God's promises coming true in your life, as you experience his belt of truth, as you own Jesus' breastplate of righteousness, and as you feel anchored in through the peace that God gives us in our life, your faith is going to grow. But as the soldier tended his shield daily, so must we. Rick Renner writes this: "Many believers make the incredibly tragic mistake of thinking they can keep moving forward in their Christian walk on the steam of their past experiences with the Lord." I think we have all seen this happen, haven't we? I did this. People who come out of the gates like wildfire, only to fizzle out and fade in the stretch. Athletes who start well, but don't finish well. People who embrace God and live enthusiastically and see victory in their life, only to stop being honest, only to start accepting mediocrity, and to never risk anything or any area of their life for God again. Gang, we must be careful never to trade in our thurios, never trade in your combat shield for your parade shield. The parade shield, that says to the world, look at me. Look at me. Look at my Christian paraphernalia. The battle shield says, I have to keep looking to God and only Him. The parade shield, it says, look at the battle that I won years ago. It's etched right in. The battle shield, on the other hand, the battle shield of faith says, I'm in the battle right now, and I know it. I'm trusting God to do what I absolutely cannot do myself. You know, I wish that there was a way for you and me to look in the mirror and see what God sees. I wish we could look into that mirror and see the warrior inside each of us. I wish we could look in a mirror and say, you know what, I recognize the fiery darts that are being sent by the enemy towards you and me. You good? I sure wish there was a mirror like that. God says the shield of faith is designed as a weapon for us to use. Without it, we wind up like we saw in the drama. But with it, we can take on every fiery dart that comes and have it maybe hit our shield and stick in, but not hurt us. We can't prevent them from coming at us, but we can keep them from hurting us. We can keep them from going into our minds, going into our hearts, and filling us with lies that aren't true. Because that is what faith can do.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise.
I'd like to ask the worship leaders to come back and our band and give you guys an opportunity. I don't know where you're headed this week. I know some of us are going to deal with fiery darts even this week. Tough things that get shot at us. An enemy who's dying to take us down. An enemy who is dying to fill our lives with anxiety, worry, depression, sadness. It doesn't need to be. We've been offered a shield of faith. We have been offered truths and promises of God that we can trust in, a confidence in a Savior who came and already did the work. I'm going to ask the band to play and ask you to take heart. Take heart for where you're headed. And also, fiery darts don't have to last forever. Fiery darts can be extinguished. They can be burnt out. You can be renewed. You don't have to believe because you're a slow reader, you're stupid. You don't have to believe that you're useless or of no value to God. Instead, you can look in the mirror and see the warrior that He's called you to be. Take heart. Speak to God as we do the final song together. Would you stand with me?